Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're sisters-in-law. And on this podcast, we usually welcome moms who are doing pretty amazing things in their lives. They're just like you. They struggle with their kids sometimes. They can't reach the top shelf in Target. And we lean on each other to do the easy things through life and the really difficult too. And we think you're going to be inspired by the stories they tell. That's what we do on Mondays. On Wednesdays, we have little minis that we discuss things that either another Mama Bear listener has brought to our attention, something that's on Leslie and my mind, or in today's case, something that Leslie won't stop talking about.
Let me talk about it.
Today, you guys, we are talking about Hamilton. And the most exciting part about talking about Hamilton today is that we're actually welcoming one of our other sisters-in-law, Caitlin Klipsch, to the podcast.
Hey.
Leslie has been wanting to do this, I don't know, for months?
Like my whole life, basically.
Has been leading up to this moment right now.
This is the moment. This is the moment.
So let me spell out the name. I am the A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R. We are meant to be a colony that runs independently. Meanwhile, Britney keeps shitting on
I'm obsessed. Now we can say it is the Tony Award.
You're right.
Winning musical, Hamilton. And I'm crazy about it. I have been for quite a while, and I'm really excited to get to talk about just the kind of cultural phenomenon that this has become, and also just to talk about music. It's a passion of mine for sure, and we're really just excited to have this conversation and to invite Kate to the table. She has been telling me, really giving me suggestions of what to listen to since I met her when she was 16. What were you into when you were 16?
Oh, boy. That was when I really started to get into Kanye.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Kanye and Outkast probably were the big things when mm-hmm. I was in high school.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about Hamilton and just what Hamilton has created in this world, really, because I think it's more than just great music.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, Leslie, you were one of the first people I knew to talk about Hamilton, and to be fair, you often talk about musicals that I have no interest in.
This is true.
and I don't check out. But then more and more people were posting about it, people who don't normally talk about musicals, who are not interested in musicals. So this started to become a thing that crossed the boundaries of people who usually consume musicals and enjoy them mm-hmm. and people who don't. So what initially led you to love it, Leslie?
Well, I've always been a musical theater fan, and you're totally right. It seems like there's always a couple of camps. People who love the theater and people who might not. So I've been obsessed with musical theater forever. In high school, lived for the musical Rent. That was huge. It was kind of this, you know, it was the soundtrack that I think back to and defined a lot of my later high school years, in that it was kind of a breakthrough musical too, in the subject matter that it discussed and the openness that this musical portrayed, and that just was huge in my life. And so I really have, since then, I'm always on the lookout for great new musicals. This particular musical, I just find the music to be brilliant. I love that it introduces rap and hip hop to an audience that's used to, like, the opposite rap and hip hop. I think the story of Alexander Hamilton is absolutely fascinating, and I think that Lin-Manuel Miranda is a practical and tactical genius, which is a line from the musical that I just wanted to throw in there.
Matches my practical tactical brilliance. You want to fight for your land back? I need my right hand man back. Get your right hand man back. No, you gotta get your right hand man back.
If that's copyrighted, please do not sue us.
But I think, you know, part of it is that there's just, it's a cultural phenom that I feel like I can kind of participate in. I don't watch a ton of TV. I don't really watch sports, you know, but this is something that I can understand that a lot of people are really interested in. There's this kind of community that's been built around this. And there's just sort of this camaraderie with the people who are also, you know, really interested or just love this music. I feel like they're my people. We were watching the Tony Awards the other night, and my friend Sarah came over, and it really was. It was like James Corden talked in the beginning in his introduction of, like, this is the Super Bowl for a lot of us. And I've always loved the national anthem being sung at the Super
you
Bowl.
Do.
And
yes.
then I pretty much do now.
Yes.
Like, after that. And so it's sort of like it really is a cultural phenomenon that I feel like I can take part in. But I know, I think all of us have something, right? Like, that we get excited about, we cheer for the same team, we root someone on, we celebrate what they're doing, or, you know, we find something that comes up in popular culture, and we get it. Like, there's something about it that we understand, and it inspires great conversation with friends and things like that. It's interesting, the education piece, I think, because Hamilton, obviously, it's impossible to get tickets to for the average person.
Right.
However, they have made a really big effort to include a lot of New York City public school students and schools, and made arrangements for the kids, you know, as many people to see this as possible. And the Obamas kind of did a quick cameo at the Tony Awards and talked about how, you know, regardless of the music, this story has just kind of opened up this sort of fascination of American history for a new generation. And I think as a mom or like a former teacher, just that idea of like it being sort of this gateway into history, into, you know, how our country was made and developed. I never have cared about the Revolutionary War. I mean, it's never been, you know, something that I was all that. And I'm not a huge history buff. However, you know, after this came out, I read the biography, Ron Chernow's biography, that this was based on. Alexander Hamilton, according to Lin-Manuel Miranda, was like the first hip-hop star. Like, he's just, you know, this character that's got this incredible drive. And so it's kind of, in our house at least, like, prompted further study, which anytime you can kind of dig into the making of this country or whatever it is, into the historical figures in this world, I think it's an amazing thing, and I think will be awesome for kids to start to understand.
Yeah, and I think in relating that to the Broadway side of it and it being somewhat exclusive because it's expensive and limited, that also the fact that the cast is either all or mostly people of color, like, so allowing people in general, whether it's young people or anyone, to kind of, I think of that and that type of story as opposed to The Lion King or The Color Purple, which are also, but very different, like, narratives. So this idea of, like, important historical figures and just being able to see themselves in those types of figures who, I mean, there's been criticism of it, obviously, because those people weren't people of color, but being able to at least just start to imagine themselves in those kinds of important historical roles, I think also, like, the way that that's
influenced
is so important.
I think that's so huge. And another reason why I'm obsessed, I think, is because, yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda really just very blatantly asks you to think about color and about being a person of color and where you can fit into kind of the institution of Broadway, which actually is becoming more and more diverse, but also just historically. I think you're absolutely right, and it's another reason that we've really become obsessed. And I think we took it a step further, our family, when Sentayu, my daughter, for a talent show, like, now I'm getting crazy obsessed, but she...
Just now, you're getting crazy obsessed.
That she did a song, she did a King George song, and I feel like Lin-Manuel Miranda would be okay with that. Yeah. That, you know, it's not, we're not just like messing with kind of our ideas of color and what people should look like, but also gender as well. That, yeah. you know, a little girl playing the King mm-hmm. of England, mm-hmm. I think is.
And I think he's mentioned that wanting yeah. to, in future productions, wanting to yes. be able to open up for different yeah. genders.
The price of my love is not a price that you're willing to pay. You cry in your tea, which you heard in the sea.
And he said one of the reasons he chose people of color, you know, one of them, there were multiple reasons why he set the cast like that. None of those characters, those true characters, could have happened without people of color.
Mm-hmm.
The entire Revolutionary War doesn't happen without them. Right. So I love that part of it too, yeah. you know, because it does make you see into that a little more, where you don't have to from the history books, mm-hmm. you don't get that same perspective. So
yeah. 100% yes. I'm like getting more and more excited about it.
Leslie Oliver also was in that talent show, and I think, you know, in our comment section, we should post to both their YouTube videos. Jake posted them, and
I
cried happy tears because Oliver was so committed and just so great. And that was not an easy one that he chose.
No. I know. Well, I think that's another reason why this has been so much fun, because this is something like our family has gotten into together. Like, we all listen to the music, we all talk about it, we all, you know, sort of celebrate these stories, and we don't really have a lot of other things that like all five of us are totally into. There's not like a show that bonds us together. Like, we thought the dog was gonna bond us as a family, and that has not worked out. And so it's sort of been fun, just, you know, like, if you love a team together as a yeah. family, that creates some really great time spent together and memories. And so that has been really fun for all of us, just to enjoy this together. I think, too, the show tells the history of a man and this young nation that takes place in the 1760s, 70s, and 80s. But there are moments where you listen and you realize just how culturally appropriate it still is mm-hmm. today. So there's one line from the show, and it's immigrants, they get the job done. And I think that's really relevant to this yeah. conversation that we're having here as a country
in 2016.
No sweater, we're finally on the field, we've had quite a run. Immigrants, we get the job done. So what happens if we win? I go back to France. I bring freedom to my people if I'm given the chance.
No, I think that is it. Like, being able to put those lines and, you know, multiple kind of allusions to things like that that are clearly, like you said, were happening then and were totally true then and are so true now, to show, I think, the continuity of that in, like, kind of a sad way, mm-hmm. in ways of, like, how right now going through so much of the same stuff that they were going through then, and like debating over the same issues that we still mm-hmm. haven't worked out hundreds of years later mm-hmm. and he puts a lot of those in, I think, to show like how much work we still have to do. And yeah. it wasn't like we won and we wrote the, and by we I mean white men, wrote the, you know, the documents and the federal papers and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and then it's all been great since then. That, like, we're still battling over the same stuff that we've been battling over since then.
That is the role that hip-hop and rap has played in our society since the beginning, really, is that it makes you think about the larger issues. It does it in a way that's catchy, so the kids are singing it and they're maybe repeating these words, but it makes you realize, I mean, even now with some of, like, Kendrick Lamar's about Black Lives Matter movement, or some of the more popular artists now are making people who wouldn't normally think about what other people are going through think about what other people are mm-hmm. going through. And I think that's why Hamilton has reached a broader audience than the normal Broadway audience, because the lyrics, one, are catchy, but also it makes you consider not just what happened then in a different light, but what's happening now in a different light as well.
Yeah, there's another line that John Lawrence in the in the musical says, he says, but we'll never be truly free until those in bondage have the same rights as you and me. And every time I hear that, it just sends shivers up mm-hmm. my spine, you know, because we just still have so much work to do.
When he wrote that, and in the 1700s, it was literal bondage. But now you can think about it in terms of a metaphorical bondage. Mm-hmm. How many people were keeping, you know, sometimes it is a little in handcuffs that shouldn't mm-hmm. be, but also just in the larger context and the larger framework of bondage, how we're still doing that to so many people in our own country. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a lot of his lyrics, is just one word, bondage, mm-hmm. can mean in the literal sense and then also in the larger sense as well. But we'll never be truly free until those in bondage have the same rights as you and me. You and I do or die. Wait till I sally in on a stallion with the first black battalion. Have another shot.
Yeah, and just the idea, too, of including women in the Constitution and in the general conversation. There's another line, Angelica, from the musical says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And when I meet Thomas Jefferson, I'm going to compel him to include women in the sequel. You know, and so, I mean, it's still, again, very relevant today of just, like, who runs this place, you know, who has the voice, who is the one who is invited to the room where it happens,
right?
To quote another line from Hamilton.
We love that part, right? Whenever the sisters are singing, I hook into that even more so, because it's so true. They didn't have a seat at the table. And on this podcast, we often talk about how we still don't have seats at the table in the rooms where it's happening, mm-hmm. where people are deciding what's happening in this country, or we don't have as big of a vote, or we don't make as much money, those kind of things. So, you know, obviously I'm a white person, so I can hear and listen to the stories of people of color. But I only know my own experience, and I can say, gosh, that's still happening. Like, that is still something I feel, and this was hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. Now imagine that people of color were even less than, you know, what a white woman was at that time. Right. So just being able to picture that. But I think that's why this is going crazy with women.
Yeah, I think it's an emotional connection to this story that is just brought to life by the music. And I think it's just a piece that has touched so many people in so many different ways. And I think every once in a while there is an album that comes along and just really affects you, you know? And Hamilton is definitely that album for me right now. Every other founding father gets to grow old. And when you're gone, who remembers your name? Who keeps your flame? Who tells your story? So, Kate, a lot of my mom friends listen to Hamilton and love Hamilton, but it's definitely out of the typical Ingrid Michaelson genre of music. So we would love to know, and we would love our listeners to know, if you're obsessed with Hamilton, if you love that music, what else could we be listening to? If this is sort of a gateway into a new type of music, into hip-hop or rap, what else should be on our list?
I think about this a lot for, like, non-hip-hop fans. I mean, I had a hip-hop blog for a short time, but
oh yeah,
for non-hip-hop fans, what they might want to listen to. A lot of times I think about it for my niece and nephews. Mm-hmm. Now they're getting older and they can find their own music, but before that of wanting to, I think what I've always really enjoyed and been pretty good at was, like, paying attention to new young artists. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, you know, like I said, I started listening to hip-hop and really getting into music in general in high school. So anything before that, I never really went back and listened to older things. So mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of older hip-hop. So things have been around that age, so 15 or so years ago since then. And so I've always kind of thought about that, of things that people who don't normally listen to hip-hop might like. Obviously, like, things like Outkast are pretty mm-hmm. crossover. A lot mm-hmm. of people love Outkast, so they're not making music together anymore, but they both still make some music, and fingers crossed, Andre Benjamin will be making more music.
Yeah,
So, I mean, they're always great. The first thing that popped into my head, also because I just love him and he's my favorite, but is different than a lot of hip hop, is Chance the Rapper, who just recently came out with his third album called Coloring Book. And it's really blown up. He is really young. I think he's only, 23 maybe, from Chicago. He's never sold any of his music. He's always released his music for free. He's unsigned. He's very, a staunch believer in independent music. Says he will not sign to a label because they're too restrictive. And he just has tons of, amazing guests on this album. Mm-hmm. Kanye, Lil Wayne, 2 Chainz, a lot of, really big names.
I bet they don't stay for good. Watch. Somebody will steal daddy's rollie. Call it the neighborhood. Watch. Pray for a safer hood. When my paper good, watch. Captain Saberhood.
But the thing about Chance the Rapper that I think people maybe who like Hamilton will appreciate is it's pretty jubilant. His music is really joyful in a lot of ways. And when he does talk about negative things, it tends to be more about universal things. Mm-hmm. So on his second album, he has a song he references a couple times, one of his friends who died. I mean, he grew up on the south side of Chicago, so he talks about the violence on the south side of Chicago and what that's like. He has a really heartbreaking song on his second album about that. And but this new one, there's a lot of gospel in it. Mm-hmm. Almost too much for some people. Some people have said they don't like it because it's or they don't like parts of it because it's so gospel-y, but it's just really beautiful. And actually, Chance the Rapper and Lin-Manuel Miranda were just featured in the magazine Complex. Mm-hmm. And they did a joint interview and they were on the cover together. And Chance the Rapper is going to be on the mixtape, the Hamilton mixtape. Oh, cool. And they were talking kind of about both of them kind of creating new paths within their own genres and the things that they're trying to do, really trying to break down some old
barriers and
some barriers mm-hmm. and things like that.
Well, and I love that, just like I love Hamilton so much for the story of it. And honestly, what better way for a white suburban mom to understand what it's like to live on the south side of Chicago. Absolutely. Someone needs to tell us that story. We need to be able to understand that in whatever capacity that we can. And maybe through music is a way in. Because those are things I want to know about.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we talked about on Aubrey's mm-hmm. podcast, we'll link to it in the show notes, about how art is often the only way into those places, mm-hmm. other than going there and spending actual time there. Art is our only glimpse into places and people that are different than us and who were raised differently mm-hmm. and grew up differently than we are. And so I love that. Okay, right, so Chance.
So I would say Chance. And then going back to what you said before, as far as storytelling, Kendrick Lamar is definitely mm-hmm. hands down, I guess it's arguable, but the best storyteller of this young generation of rappers. I think almost everyone would agree with that. Mm-hmm. So he's also doing incredible things with sounds. And really incorporating a lot of different styles, which is something that Chance does really well. But I think Chance goes more on that side of the sounds and kind of the way that he raps and the way that he sings and the different people and things that he incorporates. And I think Kendrick does some things with sounds, but he's just a really incredible storyteller.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about.
And I think one thing about both of them is that in different ways and in their own lanes, they're two rappers that I feel like I can go to often when so much of hip hop, the culture of misogyny is still so strong. And someone like Kanye, who I love, the elements of misogyny are still so prevalent that I think those are two rappers that I feel like sometimes I can go to and feel like safe spaces within hip hop, where there might be a comment here and there, but overwhelmingly there are not songs about just degrading women. Okay. There really aren't. And if there's anything in that way towards, especially on the Kendrick side, it's in a storytelling element and you can feel it as a storytelling element. So his second full album, Good Kid, Mad City, is the story of himself as a young kid, and he talks about kind of chasing this girl as he was a 17-year-old boy and talks about wanting to sleep with her and all these things. and but it's very, it's a narrative. Yeah. It's like a really amazing concept album. And so it's, I think that's one thing I really appreciate about both of them too. And I'm always looking for, because as much as I love hip hop, I get to points where I just can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like the misogyny is too much. And I think that's another reason why some of the older hip hop I have a hard time with. Of a rap image. I'm trapped inside the ghetto and I ain't proud to admit it. Institutionalized. I keep running back for a visit. Hold up. Get it back. Any female voices? I think Nicki Minaj is really incredible. I think she's really, really incredible. And I think she's smart and she's built a really great brand. And I think she's really good. I mean, she's a really good rapper. Kitsy on fleek. Pretty on fleek. Pretty gang always keep the
on geek. Biting through Texas. Feed him for his breakfast. I love the character of Angelica Skyler and how she is a rapid fire rapper.
Yeah.
Like the mm-hmm. woman who is currently playing her on Broadway is absolutely incredible. And so I'd love to know if there's other kind of female rappers or female artists that our mama bears might like also.
I mean, one that is really, I mean, she's not super well known, but No Name Gypsy is someone that Chance the Rapper has featured a lot. And she's like a young female rapper from Chicago. And I really like her a lot. I blessed myself inside your arms one day. Swear to God, there I was when a dress and a silver buttons fade away. Miss Mary Mattress, geriatrics. I mean, actually, the first person that like popped into my head when you mentioned, she's not necessarily a rapper, although she raps sometimes, is Santa Gold is like a really incredible artist. And she's a little older, but she's put out a few albums, and her most recent album is called 99 Cents. But she, like, really blends a lot of different sounds and has just also kind of just done her own thing.
Beyoncé has really started rapping a little bit more, too, and it's gotten Absolutely. A little more... She's just demanding more of a presence in that world than she ever has before as well. I mean, as far as female voices go, she certainly is one that started in more the kind of R&B kind of world, but has transitioned a lot more into this is a statement on the world and in my world. And mm-hmm. I think her voice is really... I mean, it would be like a Skylar sister, you know? Let's imagine for a moment that you never made a name for yourself, a master wealth. They had you labeled as a king. Never made it out the cage. Still out there moving in them streets. Never had the baddest woman in the game.
Kate, would these artists be people that our listeners need to listen to while they're jogging or maybe in headphones without their kids present? Or... What are your thoughts sort of on just like the explicit nature of some of these artists? I know Hamilton is, there are curse words in Hamilton, and you know, our family has dealt with that and the way we deal with things. So, you know, there's a spectrum kind of what you allow, what you kind of communicate, mm-hmm. what you...
I'm not always great at that filter because I don't think of things through that filter because I don't have kids.
True.
I remember once trying to watch a music video here in MIA, yes. who's also incredible, mm-hmm. An MIA video here at Zach and Tessie's house, and we couldn't get it to work until the kids were gone, although I said it was fine to watch while the kids were there, and it was very much not fine.
Not fine.
I would say both of those, honestly, Chance the Rapper and Kendrick at least, it's similar to Hamilton in that the way that they use curse words, and they do curse, but it's not in a like a gratuitous mm-hmm. way, and it's not, neither of them I feel are violent, which is another thing like in hip-hop, not just misogyny, but like a lot of especially young Chicago hip-hop right now, because of the culture that mm-hmm. that a lot of young people are growing up in, on especially on the south and west sides, is so violent. So I feel like when there is cursing, it's not in that way. So I would definitely say with those two for sure. And then Santa Gold doesn't curse that much. I mean, I'd say a lot of those things, I can't really handle a lot. Like, I can handle curse words is fine, but in the way that is either misogynistic or violent or vulgar.
Or just gratuitous. Sometimes exactly. when it's just gratuitous. And I agree, because I like Kendrick, I agree, mm-hmm. because he's a storyteller. It's not every word is intentional. And exactly. so I let my kids listen to Kendrick Lamar no problems, because I agree, when he uses them, it's to move the story ahead. It's not to just throw in a cuss.
And I would be remiss if I did not talk about how much I love Kanye.
You would.
And how important I think Kanye is. And he's probably the most, honestly, of that, of especially his more recent albums, where there is a little more, I don't know about cursing because I don't pay enough attention, but cursing in a way of kind of like sometimes sexual violence, sometimes some misogyny, things like that. So like some of those, again, his most recent album, which Chance the Rapper is also on, is also very gospel heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, again, if you're going to understand hip hop in the last 10 to 15 years, you have to listen to Kanye. Kanye has always been two albums ahead of everyone else, mm-hmm. and is always like defining what the sound is going to be like, and is really, and I obviously people hate him for so many reasons and whatever, but within the realm of music and hip hop, I mean, almost every artist will talk about his genius and how everyone is trying to do what he's been doing for years. And so I think, like, again, his most recent album is very gospel heavy, but I would go back to his first album, College Dropout. Like, if you want to listen to something that has been like unbelievably influential in hip hop for the last 10, 15 years, I think it came out in 2004. It's that. His first couple albums, that The College Dropout and Late Registration, would be like incredibly.
We weren't supposed to make it past 25. Jokes on you, we still alive. Throw your hands up in the sky and say,
and yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda, in one of the interviews after Kanye and Kim Kardashian came to, he said arguably the most influential person in his lyrics was Kanye West.
My mama used to say only Jesus could save us. Well, mama, I know I act the fool, but I'll be gone to November. I got packs to move. I hope.
Well, I love this conversation because we are, you know, Tessie and I are a couple of white moms who live in the Midwest and have just kind of a desire and a thirst to understand as much of the world as possible. And as we've said, we think that art is a great way to enter into new realities and new worlds and new ways of living. And so I hope that our mama bears, you know, whether or not, maybe they haven't even tried Hamilton
right.
yet. Maybe they should start there.
And I think it's a great way to relate to your kids. Mm-hmm. Your kids are hearing this, whether they, maybe you love country and your kids love country, and so this doesn't apply to you. But I know my kids are hearing a lot of this from their friends. They're being introduced to a lot of this. And so if I just shrugged it all off as something not applicable to my life because I've not had those same experiences or whatever, I would be dismissing a part of my kids' current identities. Maybe they'll grow up to like different music, I don't know. But right now my kids love this music, and so I think it's important to hear the music they're loving and to understand why, and this is a good way to do that.
So, Mama Bears, music and art can sometimes surprise us by providing an emotional connection to something larger than ourselves. Whether it's a musical set to hip-hop or a newly discovered album by a little-known artist, we dare you to open yourself to new sounds and sights and to allow your soul to connect in unique and beautiful ways. We dare you to embrace storytelling, regardless of what shape it takes, and learn from the lives of others. We are made to crave beauty and connection, so we dare you to be open to finding such things anywhere you can. Let your ears hear something new, or your eyes see something fresh, or your tongue taste something unexpected. Listen to the world around you with curious ears. When you find new music that pleases you, share it with others and let it enrich your entire world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mama Bears, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the musical breaks too. Music can move you mm-hmm. in such beautiful ways. Mm-hmm. Join our conversation on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Tell us what you're listening to. Do you love Hamilton as much as Leslie loves Hamilton? Meaning she probably has a tattoo appointment scheduled for later that I don't know about yet. But tell us what you think. we appreciate so much. If you leave a rate or a view on iTunes, that helps reach more people, more mama bears who could use the inspiration from our guests. And other than that, have a great week, mama bears.
Yeah, and if anyone out there knows when Manuel Miranda's mom, let us know, because I'd really love to interview her.
She probably lives not too far from where I work.
So. We need to figure this out.
This is bad. Now that Leslie knows that, this is bad. So if anyone knows her address, please let us know.
We'd like to invite her on the show.
Thanks, Mama Bears. Have a good week.